Welcome to the Parentnet podcast by Focus on the Family Singapore. In each episode, we will be speaking with everyday parents and practitioners as they share with us gems from their parenthood journey. Keep tuning in to learn with us as we figure it out together. Hello and welcome to the Parentnet podcast. My name is June and I'm your host for this episode. The Terrible Twos, a stage characterized by tantrums and meltdowns, mood swings and challenging behaviors. I'm sure every parent out there is familiar with them. Despite the negativity often tied to this phase, it is actually a normal stage of childhood development. Toddlers at this stage are gaining independence. They are learning to assert their autonomy. With the right mindset and preparation, parents can also embrace this stage with expectancy and hope instead of dread and anxiety. Now, joining me on this episode is Eng Wan Sin, mother of two young boys aged 5 and 3. I'm sure she's had her fair share of the terrible twos, tantrums and meltdowns and all that. And she will be sharing with us her insights on how to understand this stage of development better and how to manage it better as well. So welcome to the Parentnet podcast, Wan Sin. And thank you so much for taking time to join us today. Can you start by introducing yourself so that our listeners can get to know you?
Hi, everyone. My name is Wan Sin. Thank you for having me here today. It's my pleasure and my honor to share my journey with you. I've been a stay-home mom for the past 5 years, ever since my first child was born. Other than being a mom, I also write articles for Focus on an ad hoc basis. I'm really glad to be here with you guys today.
Thank you so much. Yes, we appreciate you and the work that you've been doing with us. And we're really glad to have you here today. Can you share with us what is actually going on in our young children's brain during this stage of toddlerhood?
I think 2-year-old is a very fun age for children. A lot of things are going on in their mind and in their body as well. Firstly, their awareness begins to grow exponentially. Be it towards the environment or the people around them, they are beginning to have a sense of awareness of what is happening and trying to recognize and remember things that are happening around them. So we can see them picking up language quickly at this age. We can see them starting to recognize and remember things more clearly. We can also see them trying to understand short and simple instructions and asking a billion questions. But this is also the age where they want to exert their power. They want to know what they can do and what they cannot do. They want to have that autonomy to try things out on their own. So this is where there's a little bit of tension, because while they are so keen to explore, there are boundaries that can hinder them. To them, it's kind of like hindering, but to us, we call them boundaries, safety boundaries, that really cause them to stop in their track and wonder, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? And when there's that tension, they get into a place where the emotions overwhelm them. But it is also at this age where they are unable to regulate themselves. They are unable to control their own impulse, unlike adults. So we see them go full into tantrum, into meltdowns. Mm. Yeah, and that's a very common sight that we see in toddlerhood.
So what I'm hearing is, while it can be a very fun and exciting stage for the toddler, it can also be very dramatic. Right, yes. When it comes to the meltdowns and the anger and the frustration that's boiling over them, right? So even with this understanding of this remarkable phase of development in our child's brain, how can we best manage this stage? How can we best manage their tantrums and meltdowns so that we can help them maybe ease through them better?
Firstly, we need to separate tantrums and meltdowns. They are very different behaviors altogether. Tantrums have a purpose, so it is often carried out to achieve a certain objective that the toddler wants to achieve. So for example, my son will throw himself on the floor and throw his slippers, throw everything that he has on hand because I refuse to buy the toy bus for him. Whereas meltdown happens because of an overload of sensorial experience, or they are just overtired and they cannot manage themselves and they just lose control of themselves. So like when they go through a very long day and they have back-to-back activities, they go out past their bedtime, and just in the car they'll have their meltdown. They cry, they scream until they are really worn out, and then they just fall asleep. usually that's a meltdown. It doesn't have anything to do with any goals, objectives that they're trying to meet. So to deal with tantrums and meltdowns, the strategies are a bit different as well. So for tantrums, we need to hold the boundaries because we are the parents, we are the adults. We know why we are doing what we are doing. We know what's good for them and what's not good for them. So we have to bear the brunt of their anger and just go through the whole tantrum process with them, which also then teaches them that you don't get what you want just because you throw a tantrum.
Yes. Yeah. And so, that's a really important thing for them to learn.
It is. They need to accept no as an answer.
So no matter how painful, we have to hold firm to that boundary, whether it is no ice cream before dinner time or no TV before your homework.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we need to hold firm to that. But when it comes to meltdowns, you were saying it would be a different kind of strategy because they are simply overtired.
Yeah. When it comes to meltdown, I think it will help if we are a bit more empathetic towards what they're going through, what they're feeling. I think as parents, sometimes we have that instinct in us that helps us to differentiate what is a tantrum and what is a meltdown. So when we piece the puzzle together and we know that they must have had a long day and this is a meltdown and not a tantrum, then we try our best to soothe them. We cut the routines as much as possible so that they can go to bed early. They just really need the rest.
For example, we just really need the child to get to bed. Because they are so overtired, right? They can skip their wiping of the face with a wet face towel, or they can maybe skip brushing even just for that night.
It's really just to help them to get to that place of rest as soon as possible so that they can just come down and just get to bed.
Let's tackle the tantrums first. When the child is in a tantrum mode, let's say, like you mentioned, your child wants this toy really, really badly, and you have to kind of hold that boundary, but yet he or she is kicking up a big fuss in the middle of a busy shopping mall. How do you hold on to your wits at that point in time and successfully bring your child through that process and be able to live with your dignity intact?
It's a matter of practice. Whereby,
okay, that's good to know because then we don't expect ourselves to be like perfect from the beginning.
No, it's impossible. I think the first reaction we will have is to join the tantrum with them. In a sense, we don't throw ourselves on the floor, but we also get angry at them and we try all sorts of ways to stop that behavior. To like, you know, tell them to keep quiet, stop it. I mean, I also done all these things before.
Yeah.
And I realized that the more we try to rush that process, the slower it takes.
Right.
Because they're just trying to empty out their frustration within them. I find that my child is in the middle of the coffee shop, like what he did today, because he wanted to take an umbrella that he shouldn't take. So he just threw himself down on the coffee shop floor and he was just flinging everything all around. But it was a dangerous place. So I had to carry him away to a safe place and let him continue on until he is done. And then he picked up himself. He picked up the things that he threw. And we walk on. And then we deal with it later. When he's ready to listen, when I ask him, why you do this, why you do that, next time you can use your words. I know it's frustrating, but sometimes a no is a no. So I start to only teach when he's calm and ready to listen.
Wow, that's really amazing. And I'm sorry you had to go through all that just today.
I think it's a common struggle that a lot of parents with toddlers will face. But I just want to say that it happens and we can get through it. It's a phase.
I think that really gives us hope. That really gives our listeners hope. And I really want to ask you this million-dollar question that I'm sure many out there are just like wanting to know as well. So how did you manage to stay calm in that busy, hot, crowded coffee shop and, you know, let your child still be able to safely air out his frustration and recover?
I think the first thing I told myself was it is going to happen. The moment he asked for the umbrella, and I knew that I wouldn't give it to him, I knew that it was going to happen. Okay. So I had to manage my own expectation from the beginning that he will throw a tantrum, what he will do during a tantrum, and this is the place that he'll have a tantrum. So as I prepare myself mentally, then I be able to calm myself down. So when I see him throwing tantrum, actually it triggers me.
Okay.
I may look calm outside because I'm surrounded by a lot of people. But inside my heart, I felt that I was really anxious. I didn't know whether it would escalate. I don't know whether it's going to end, how long it will take, and what will be affected because of that. So the next routine was lunch. And the next routine after lunch was his nap. So I was thinking something's going to go and his tantrum is going to drag on. With all these thoughts, I actually felt really anxious and frustrated. But I told myself that it is okay. He needs to get through it. You need to get through it. We are going to get through it. Just breathe in, breathe out, take deep breath now. So I have to like really psycho-educate myself. Do it now. Breathe in, breathe out. Don't look at the people around you. Don't think about what they are thinking about you. Just breathe in, breathe out, get through it. Get through it, go home, and then we settle this.
I'm assuming that everything was fine at the end of that, right? So you managed to get home and...
We managed to run through the stuff that we need to.
What I'm hearing is, while there is that bracing, like mentally preparing yourself for that tantrum that you could almost see, it's like a train wreck almost in slow motion. Yes. Right? In your mind, you're like, okay, it's coming and I need to respond. I don't want to lose my cool and I want to respond in a good way and be able to help my child through this. Apart from, you know, being prepared, you also mentioned soothing yourself with some calming statements like, we can get through this, you know, we might have to rush a few things, but we will get through this. Those are really helpful for parents who are facing that tantrum moment and really feeling like they're about to explode, but trying to hold everything in together. I'm just wondering, when it comes to meltdowns, what are some helpful strategies that might be useful apart from preempting, like trying not to get into that stage where they're overtired, hungry or whatever? Sometimes it just can't be helped, right? Yeah. It happens. What else can we do?
When it comes to that stage, we can no longer reason with the child because he's really losing control of himself. So as a parent, what we can do is to cut down routines that are really not necessary. So for example, if my son is very cranky and is crying, but he still needs to shower, and then usually we have story time, and then at home we will pray before we sleep. So we cut down story time, we cut down the praying, we just let him shower and then go to sleep. Cutting down routines really help because the child cannot go through the routines by themselves by now, the state that they are in. Another strategy that I tried, it works at times, it doesn't work at times, which was to empathize with the child. Telling the child that I know you are tired, I know it has been a long day. I felt that it worked with my older child. My 5-year-old could tell me that with teary eye and like, all mucus, and he's like, yeah, I had a long day, so tired, mama, I'm so tired right now. It's like, yeah, I know, let's shower and then we're going to sleep, we're going to rest, I know you need the rest. Yeah, my body needs the rest. So I think affirming them and empathizing with them, it helps them to know that they are heard and they are understood, and it calms them down that teeny little bit, even though like after shower he goes into the frenzy mode again. So I would say for every child it is different. My 3-year-old couldn't. He's just gone. So we couldn't shower him at all because he wouldn't even let us change his clothes. So we just had to wipe him down and then just get him into bed.
Just do the bare minimum necessary to get to the next step, which is to sleep.
Yes.
And then you get the breather as well, which is like win-win for all, right?
Yes.
Well, I'm hearing that there is so much actually when it comes to managing tantrums and meltdowns. As parents, actually all we want to do is to raise healthy, happy children and also to hopefully teach them the right values and the right character traits. But sometimes when we lose our cool, then we're kind of not modeling for them what we actually want to see. How can we teach ourselves? How can we train ourselves to do this better? When at times we fail and when at times we actually blow up, maybe even worse than our kids, how do we redeem that? How do we work at restoring the relationship?
It is firstly inevitable that we all get to that state where we explode at our kid. Because toddlers are really difficult to manage. They can have multiple tantrums plus meltdowns a day. At the end of the day, maybe sometimes not even the end, by halfway mark, we're already so drained physically, mentally, emotionally, and we just can't help but to like just explode at them because we also need that outlet. As adults, we need to first tell ourselves that we are also human. As parents, sometimes we have the expectation on ourselves that we need to be that model. We need to be at that level. The expectation of ourselves is like almost perfect already. But at the same time, our failures can also model to our children how we pick ourselves up.
That's so true.
I feel that as parents, the first emotion we feel after lashing out at our kid is guilt, which is normal because they are our kids. But what we can do to get out of that guilt is to acknowledge what were the triggers that day. If I didn't have enough sleep the night before and I explode by afternoon, then I know that I'm really tired. That's why I'm behaving like that. Not say to justify why I can behave this way or why I should, but to let myself know that, okay, maybe next time I really need to sleep by this time so that I don't repeat this again. Mm. It's identifying our own personal triggers, our own personal difficult situations. Sometimes external environment and situation can also become a trigger for us. So then how do we work on ourselves to anticipate the triggers and to prevent ourselves from getting triggered? I think that is something very important as parents, so that we can reduce the number of times we explode. And this was something that I learned, especially when my younger one had a very challenging toddlerhood, when he just entered two. And every day I find myself exploding and exploding and exploding. And after that, I realized I just can't do without sleep. So I cut all my dramas and all that, and I really
sleep.
Yeah, it was a bit sad to let it go, but I felt that it was better than lashing out at my toddler and feeling guilty like 100 times a day. So I slept at 10:30 on some days, and the next day I felt refreshed. The other trigger for me was them whining. It escalates my anger from 0 to 100 exponentially. I just cannot take whining. Yeah. Even though I know developmentally they are allowed to whine because they are kids, but it was just annoying to my ears. Whenever they whine, I also need to remind myself that this is a trigger. Mm. I don't react, I respond. Mm. So I tell myself, it's okay, it's okay. You just teach them how to use your words. You show them how to use your words. So mentally, I also need to defuse myself and tell myself that you're going to get angry, but don't get angry. It's a way of controlling your own mind, taking over your own mind and emotions and not letting it reign and rule over you.
I really appreciate what you have shared, Wansin. First of all, for being so honest with us, and all of us can really relate. Yeah, we've all been through that and we've all felt like that terrible mom, right, for scolding and lashing out at our kids for the upteen time in that day. I'm just hearing that there is a lot of awareness that you have sort of intentionally built in yourself. And it's been a process, right? It's not overnight. It's learning from the mistakes. It's learning from tantrum after tantrum to identify the triggers so that when it happens, you're like, oh, that's my trigger and I got to watch myself.
Yep.
It's not like you just mindlessly react to that trigger. You're already telling yourself, that is something I know and this is how I want to deal with it.
Yes.
So that's really intentional and really wonderful that you have managed to come to this point, right? Through your parenting process, you know, even though it has been definitely challenging and probably very disheartening on some days. So thank you for sharing all those tips. I'm sure our listeners have managed to take away some tips from your sharing today. But before we let you go, I'm wondering if you have any last words to share with our listeners.
We need to have a right frame of mind towards toddlerhood is that it is a phase where it will pass. Our children will grow up. They will mature in their thinking. They will mature in their language. And they will one day be able to speak their frustration, their emotions. But from now till then, we need to see it as a learning journey for ourselves also. This is so that we don't beat ourselves up over our failures. At the same time, we also allow our children to see that we are learning. I think it's important for them to not see their parents as superheroes that cannot fail, but that this is a process, a beautiful process actually, that we are all learning together. And don't be shy to say sorry. I think we all need to say sorry.
That's all something we need to learn.
Yeah.
And maybe we can have you back on another podcast to tell us more about apologizing to our kids.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's wonderful. I think what you mentioned, it's very inspiring to know that our kids will not stay like this forever, right? Yes. It's a process of growth for them. And even as we yearn to show them compassion and empathy as they journey and grow, we are also showing ourselves that same compassion and empathy.
Exactly.
And that really helps us to also manage that situation, those tricky tantrum-y situations that we all don't like but have to go through. So thank you so much, Wansin. Thank you once again for spending time with us. And for listeners out there, we trust that you have picked up a thing or two about tantrums and meltdowns from this podcast. Do remember to share this podcast with a friend who might just benefit from it. For more parenting resources, do visit our website at family.org.sg. And do keep tuning in to the Parenet podcast to learn and grow in your parenting journey. See you next time.